Tonight's lesson, I want to begin with Philippians chapter 2 as a basis for our text and our study. If you want to turn to that. And I intended to make some other arrangements and even use the blackboard for this lesson tonight. And I spent most of my time laying down this afternoon, so I didn't finalize and do all the things I wanted to do for this lesson. But you know, in the world in which we live, and we find that there are all sorts of churches and religious organizations wearing various religious titles and names. And many men and organizations and so forth are honored by people in the religious world. And a lot of times whenever we talk to people about names, religious names, we find that they will say, well, you know, what is there in a name? A name doesn't make a whole lot of difference. That one name's just as good as another. I don't believe that's the picture that's painted in the scriptures of one given name. There is one name that's above all names. And one name in which we are commanded to do all things. Of course, that name is spoken of here in the second chapter of Philippians. Whenever after the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Philippians here, has spoken about what Jesus Christ has done, in leaving heaven and taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, being found fashioned as a man, humble himself and becoming obedient unto death upon the cross. It says, therefore, in verse number 9, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name, or the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. There is one name above all, as this passage points out. One name before which every one should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One name to be recognized above all. Where should we try to find the answer for our question about the importance of a name? Should we go to Shakespeare? A rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. Should we take his authority? Should we go to the wisdom of men? Seems to me certainly we must go to God's Word and see what God has to say about it in his Word. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 20 says, or asks the question, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And certainly that is true. If we were trying to figure out how to save ourselves, we were trying to figure out how to live, we just have to look about us and see how foolish that we are, how miserable our attempts have been to try to find life and happiness and peace without God. Jeremiah declared long ago, it's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. And so it's not the only place to find the answer to this. And if there's any importance in a name, it is from God's Word. Well, this passage here to begin with indicates that there is one name above every name. Jesus Christ declared that all authority in heaven and earth had been given unto him. Recognized that the Father had turned over all things unto him, made him to be head over all things, to his church, to the church which is his body, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. He's the head of the church. It is his body. And therefore, it's only logical that it should wear his name. In the leaflets that we have printed with the Back to the Bible theme on it for our gospel meeting, one of the statements we've made in there concerning our motto is to, let's do Bible things in Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names. That's the only way that there can be unity in the religious world. People want there to be unity, but they're looking to man's wisdom. They're looking to compromise, to give and take, and looking for man to come up with some super church in which we can all agree. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us His will. If we will simply do Bible things in Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names, we go a long ways toward finding that unity. Because there's a pattern given there upon which we can all agree. Same thing is true with the name, isn't it? If you call someone a Christian, they're usually happy about that name if he claims to be a follower of Christ. And he will be happy about being referred to as a Christian. But you call someone who's a member of a church, call him a B Christian, he's not going to be happy about that, is he? It's the names that men have added that cause the problem and the division. All would simply agree to be Christians if we would drop the other names then, denominational titles that separate us, then we could have unity in regards to that name. And that name of Christ, of course, comes from the Scriptures. In what name or by what name are we saved? Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In His name. We find that when the apostles did their work, and performed miracles, like in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6, where we've studied the book of Acts about Peter and John healing the lame man who was begging for alms. Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. It was in His name. When we do something in somebody's name, it's by their authority. And so it was by the authority of Jesus Christ that He was telling him to rise up and walk. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 18. Again, whenever this girl was following around Paul in the city of Philippi and crying out, these people are servants of the Most High God, and giving, you know, everywhere they went, she was bothersome. Finally, Paul turns to her and commands, he says, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. By the authority of Jesus Christ. We have no authority. The apostles had no authority to act upon their own. But it's by His authority, in His name, that miracles were performed. In whose name are we to offer prayer? Again, it's to be through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? He said before He went back to heaven, as recorded in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in My name, says He will do it. We're to pray in His name. We have no authority. We have no merit in which to approach the Lord Jesus, to approach God. No other man does. We couldn't offer prayer through any other person's name. Only Jesus Christ died for our sins and is seated at the right hand of God, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. John 16, verse 24, whatever you ask in the Father's name, He will do it. Ephesians 5 and verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rules heaven and earth, and through His name we are to give thanks. Eternal life is given to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Near the end of the Apostle John's Gospel, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he said that Jesus did many other signs which are not written, he says, in this book, but these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his name, by his name, that we can have eternal life. In whose name must we believe if we're going to be saved? Again, the answer comes back, Jesus Christ, didn't it? John 1 and verse number 12, well, verse number 11 speaks about the fact how that Jesus came to his own and his own people received him not, but as many as received him, to him gave them power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. That name is that in which we must believe. In the Gospel of John chapter 2 and verse number 23, it's recorded there how that many people at the Passover feast there believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's necessary if we're going to be saved. And we just read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, whose name are we to confess? The name of some man who has established a church in the 14th or 15th or 16th century? Or the name of some country or organization of men? There's some form of government? No. It's the name of Jesus Christ that we are to confess. He said, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. How are we going to have remission of sins? Again, it's through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24, verse number 46 and 47 speaks about the fact that it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations beginning at Jerusalem in his name. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. How can we say that, you know, it's all right to wear some other name, to honor some other man? And, of course, we're baptized into that name, aren't we? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:38, told the people there when they cried out and asked what they must do, he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And when he gave the Great Commission, he told them to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you honor one, you honor them all. But we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Colossians 3 and verse number 17 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do all in his name. That name is to be exalted above all. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 13, whenever Jesus speaks to the church at Pergamos, he tells that church that he knows their works. He says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's seat is. And I know that you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even the days when my faithful martyr Antipas was put to death. They didn't deny the faith. They held on to his name. That's a good lesson for us all. We must hold on to that name. Sometimes people, even in the Lord's body today, have difficulty seeing why the name makes any difference. Well, it must be through this name. All these things point out the importance of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 62 and verse number 2. The prophecy there was, in speaking of New Testament time, you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. When we come to the New Testament, then we see people being referred to as Christians. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Peter is exhorting people there to be faithful to that name. He says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, or if you suffer for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. For on their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Now he says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matter. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name or in this matter. It's his name, through that name, that we glorify the Father. And so what other name should we refer to ourselves other than Christians and simply the Lord's church, or the church of Christ? We talk about going back to the Bible, following that pattern there, using that for our authority. Then we must look to that name which is above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we turn to the scriptures, then we read in Romans 16 and verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. He said he would build his church. He did build his church. It belongs to him. He purchased that church by his own blood. It is his. And to put the name of some man or anything else upon it is a dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for it. Most of the time in the scriptures, it's simply referred to as the church or the church of God. Of course, he was God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 speaks of the church of the firstborn. But a lot of times people will say, well, but what's wrong with wearing the name of a man? Or some other name? Well, one of the things wrong is that it divides people. If you were to wear the name of some individual and some other group another place wears the name of another individual, that's just a distinction, a division between people all claiming to be Christians. But notice what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse number 10, he talks about the situation at Corinth, and he says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now, I say this, that each one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I of Christ. Here's the situation in the church at Corinth, that they were following, claiming to be followers of different men. And then notice, Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Why have you taken the name of Paul? Was he crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see, there is something wrong with wearing the names of men. Men were not baptized, were not crucified for us. We are not baptized in the name of men, or at least we shouldn't be. Maybe some people are baptized in the name of men, I don't know. But to become Christians, we're not baptized in the name of some man. We're not baptized in the name of Christ. We belong to him, a member of his body, and should wear his name. And then Paul says in the next verse, he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say, I baptized in my own name. Now, he makes it plain here and rebukes them for the wearing of men's names. It is the name of Christ above all that should be exalted, the name above all names, the name at which every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, there's a reason for wearing the name of Christ and simply being Christians, and it's an important reason, calling Bible things by Bible names. Are you a Christian this night? If you have not been baptized into Christ and have not put him on, then you're outside of Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." If you've not put on Christ and you do not wear that name, you can leave the building wearing that name this night. Or if as a Christian you have dishonored that name in some way, then we would exhort you to repent of that this night. Ask for forgiveness and begin again honoring the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The invitation is extended to you. Now, if you're subject to it, will you not come? And while we stand and while we sing.
There's a thousand praises for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely gives. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and the soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Please turn number 308. At this time, will you please pass your cards to the center aisle so they be gathered up this time. Number 308, sing the first and last verse. After this song, we have Brother Jay Yeager lead us in closing prayer.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, leave with him your care, and be life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. The cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above, turn not again to life's sparkling cup, trust always in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Heavenly Father, we're most grateful unto you for this day, for the blessings of this day, for all things which you supply us with. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for our very beings, for we know that you hold our lives within your hand. Father, we're so thankful for your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, that he died on our behalf, and that he is our mediator, that we may approach thee in prayer. We're thankful, Father, that he does have all power and authority. We pray that we might strive to the best of our abilities to live according to his authority, to follow in his footsteps. Father, we're thankful for this body that meets here. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we might each and every day all strive to do thy will. Father, we thank you and pray for our leaders. We'd ask that you would be with Mark Legg, Sam Coleman, Jackie George, as they are examples to us here, as they encourage and exhort us to strive to live the way that we should. We pray that we all might work together so that we all might end up in heaven with thee. Father, we're also thankful for our deacons, for Mike Fletcher, for Frankie Myers, and the works that they do. Father, we're thankful for each and every member in whatever capacity that they serve. We pray that we all might be united in one spirit. Father, we're mindful of the sick, and we pray your special blessings upon them. Father, we ask that the works that this congregation is engaged in would be carried out in truth and in the spirit in which you would have us. We pray for our October meeting, Heavenly Father, when Johnny Ramsey will come, and we pray that each member will make a diligent effort to be here, that we will do what is in our capacities to make this a successful meeting, that the lost might be brought, that we all might be uplifted and encouraged to do more for thee. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, that we've had this evening to worship you. We pray that each day this week we might be mindful of the way that we should live. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. We pray that you would help us each day, as the things in this world are chaotic and turmoil everywhere. We pray that you would remind us that we're to rely upon Christ Jesus and upon your word to guide us. We pray this prayer through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.